What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 3 of The Syndicate. My name's David, and today I have a very special guest. I have Arlen Moore, founder of Maxi Mindset, founder of Tribe Accelerator, YouTuber. He makes killer content. I'm very excited to have him on the episode. We have very similar stories, and I've actually been following his content since I think I was a junior in college for my European guys, obviously university. But he's a really cool dude. He makes dope videos, and he's really pushing a very positive message to everybody that he comes in contact with. And I'm very excited to have him on today, and I think this is going to be a killer episode. Arlen, welcome.
David, thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to dive into this conversation. I've heard great things about you, so let's hop into it.
Appreciate it. So I want you to kind of just go back. The whole point of this podcast, I know you've been doing a couple of them. I want to talk about especially the time that you were in college. And that's when I found you. And I remember looking at you. And it was funny because you were over in Boston. I was in a state school in Pennsylvania. And I remember kind of the party scene because we're roughly the same age. And I remember, and I was talking to Sam about this when Sam was back as a coach for RSD, because I also found that same type of content. And I was listening to your podcast with Michael Sartain and about your methodology of when you would go out and meet people and how you kind of evolved from, you know, someone who was decently popular and you had a lot of friends to becoming someone who, you know, really was, and I like the word tactician, with the people that you met, right? And how you analyzed the interactions and how you really became and developed into the person that you are now. And I think you and I have very similar styles in the way that we went about it, especially, you know, when we were younger. So at what point, you know, what age were you when you kind of started finding that content and really like developing? I think you were about what, like 18?
Yeah. I was around 18. And the first introduction to it was, I mean, maybe not every guy. I mean, some guys are complete naturals with social skills and we're always, you know, good with girls and stuff like that. I actually naturally was always pretty good with people. Like I never actually really had, you know, I would say like an awkward phase. I was captain of sports teams. I had girlfriends and stuff like that, you know, in high school, but I don't know if you ever took or heard of the Gallup Strengths Assessment, Strengths Finder. It's basically like it's an incredible personality test. I recommend everyone who goes through my programs to take it. And basically it just gives you an insane breakdown of you and your strengths and what you should focus on. And so there's 35 strengths that it assesses you for. It's like, you remember the whole like ENTJ, INTJ 16, that was like trending. I mean, it's still trending now, but a couple of years ago, that was big, right? This is like that on steroids. Gallup Strengths Finder assessment. It's like $50. You take it. It's incredible. My second personality trait my first one is significance, which basically means I want to contribute something significant to the world. And then my second highest personality trait of those 35 is maximizer, which basically means I want to maximize every fucking area of my life. So, you know, I had good social skills in high school. I wanted to have the best social skills, right? I want to have a positive impact on people, on everything that I touch, on every podcast I go on. And I want to maximize that impact.
Yeah.
So that was the motivation behind really going into like social skills and getting obsessed with like communication. I certainly had my heartbreaks and stuff like that in high school and, you know, all that, but it was really, I think my driver is like maxing out. And so I just got very, very obsessed with it. And, you know, your network is your net worth.
Yep.
Who you surround yourself with can become a part of who you are and your success. And so I saw a lot of value in maximizing my social life. So I definitely got very obsessed at a young age.
Absolutely. And I like that because I think, especially when I started following you, like it was definitely a source of inspiration. And I haven't really like delved like super deep into your stuff recently, but I remember like finding you a couple of years ago and then being like, oh, and then like seeing you pop up, and I had followed you on Instagram. And it was even like a source of inspiration for me, because I'm like, wow, I'm like, yo, this kid's like, especially like when you were, I think senior year, when you were like traveling to Australia and all these things. And I'm like, wow, this is like really inspiring. And the way that you really went about it and the whole message, I think, especially even years ago, was like, and I believe the whole message of like 8 a.m. was like, just get up and do it, right? Like, you know, all the things that you have to do, like, just get up and do it. And even still, like, man, like, I remember looking at your stuff and being like absolutely inspired. Like when I was younger, it was like, this guy's absolutely killing it. And now it's a very interesting journey that, you know, I'm able to sit down and I'm able to talk to you. And now we have so many mutual friends and we're connected on Twitter and these types of things. So, you know, I think the main message of what a lot of people in our space, and especially like a lot of the leaders now in our space, are that we all kind of have the same sort of belief system, right? Which is to create legacy and to create as much positive impact on the people that we're speaking to and the people that we come across in everyday life, right? And that whole, I remember years ago that saying, leave people better than you found them. And I think that's something that you do really well. And that, you know, I believe I'm starting to do, especially with kind of this role that I've taken, especially in the Twitter sphere, and that I'm eventually going to be doing as well. So I want to talk about quickly, like, I remember I was listening to the Mike Sartain podcast, and you were talking about how you used to analyze all of kind of the interactions, right? And I have a very similar story with when I would go and we would all go out and we would throw these massive parties at school, and we would all sit up in my kitchen and literally just like debrief and like talk about, you know, what went well, what do you think we could be doing better? And what happened over the course of that year, that sophomore year, was we got really good, really fast. And how much do you think, especially now with people being so separated, and I think it's really great what you're doing with the Tribe Accelerator, because you're able to put people in that position to meet other people, like-minded individuals, you're facilitating that community. You know, what would you say was the biggest thing for you in terms of making friends, and what made the biggest impact, like how you analyze the conversation, how you analyze conversations? Was it the things that like you were talking to people about? Was it like a very tactical thing, or was it just like, hey, like I'm going to sit back and I'm going to talk to people and I'm going to ask them questions? Like, does that make sense as a question?
So what was the biggest thing that I've done socially to connect with people?
Exactly. And like, what would you say to young guys like now, especially in like this kind of very online internet era, to, you know, do better in like making friends and meeting people and become better communicators?
Okay. So just like the 80-20 of how to become more charismatic, get more friends into your life, really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's like a few different prongs to it. I think the very first and really most important one is knowing yourself. If you know yourself, if you know what your vision and mission is as a human, then you find yourself getting obsessed with things. You know, like for me, it was YouTube, right? Like I got very obsessed with making YouTube videos. That's how you even know who I am. That's probably how a lot of the guys that you mentioned earlier knew who I am as well. Because I got very obsessed with making YouTube videos. And I knew that about myself, that I love making videos. I love telling stories. I love having something that I can go home every day and work on. And because I know that, I then am able to just, without even really thinking about it, attract other people who are also into the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I believe you have a background in sales, right?
Yep.
I mean, because you have that background in sales and because you love it and you're obsessed with it, you're like, you almost don't even have to try to make friends, because you naturally find yourself gravitating toward people in that sales industry, that sales niche. You're following the same people on YouTube. You're following the same people on Twitter. You're following the same people on Instagram. You know, the everyone gravitates towards things that they love, and it's so easy to make friends with people that love similar things. But if you don't know what you love, then it's difficult to even know how to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
It's hard to find common ground. So, you know, and that's what I teach in my program, Tribe Accelerators. Like the first 2 weeks are literally like do you know who you are in a level of consciousness, first of all? Like, are you aware that you're just a floating awareness? Like, are you still locked in your ego thinking that you have this, you know, you're going to school and blah, blah, blah. Like, or actually, are you aware that you're aware, right? And then step two from there is like, okay, you're a point of consciousness on a rock rotating around the sun. Now, what do? You analyze your skill sets. You look at your past, your upbringing, what you're interested in, what excites you. And then you find something. Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's sales. Maybe it's Bitcoin. You know, who knows what it is, but you have to find something that you love and pursue it relentlessly, like fucking hard, you know?
Absolutely.
And once you start going down that path, it's a lot easier to find people. Did you sound like you had a comment there? I definitely have, like, yeah, I mean, I can talk about this the rest of the call, but
absolutely. And I love what you said about, you have to be aware that you're aware. And I think, you know, I'm a very big proponent of, like, I've tried, and especially in business, right? Like, I've tried, and I'm sure you have too, so many different things. And right now it seems like, you know, you're doing the things with Hubi, you're doing like probably 10, 20 different projects that like people don't even know about. And I'm such a big proponent of finding, like, literally throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, right? And that's the way. And I was saying, you know, you have to find out what you don't like in order to find out what you do like, right? And the more things you try, and the more things you try with speed, the faster you're going to get to those things that you really like.
Dude,
right? Yes. Like, for me, it was like in high school, it was lacrosse. Like, it was reading, it was playing chess, it was like doing all these different things. And then in college, I dove deep into reading, like all of the Eckhart Tolle stuff, like all of, like, the, you know, the Deepak Chopra, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, like all of these, you know, really esoteric psychological books, and like these personal development books. And like, I did that. And then I found, you know, my love for guitar again. And then I found my love for business, and I started doing all these different things. But if I had just stuck with the one thing, I would have never been where I'm at, right? And I think you've done the same as well, because I remember you were doing things with e-commerce, you were doing, and it's completely transitioned now into where, you know, you're helping. How many guys do you have in Maxi, and how many guys do you have in the Tribe Accelerator right now?
The Tribe, I like relaunched. So last year we had 135 go through, and then we wiped slate after the year and we started again. And so far this year we have 92 guys in so far this year. I mean, the goal this year is like 120 guys in the program.
Okay.
Or sorry. 1200, not 120. we'd have to set some higher goals if it was 92. Yeah. So 1200, Maxi, we've had like 5,000 people go through Maxi, and some people stay on, some people stay off, or log off, but,
Wow. So yeah. And you're making a huge impact. Like, in, I've always, especially like, and it started for me, and maybe it started for you the same way, but it started for me with my very close friends, like my best friends, where we would talk about literally everything and anything under the sun. And we would always like be there for each other in a very steel sharpened steel mentality. And now with the influence that, you know, we have in these different areas, it's like, now we're able to do that on a larger scale. And I think that is one of the most fulfilling, because I've always been a person, and I don't know if you have as well, but like, I've always tried to find my purpose. But the thing is about that, like, people who try to find their purpose, like, what you seek, you will never find. And it just kind of comes to you. And I noticed that now that I'm able to make this impact on a very large scale, it's literally like me doing that for my best friends on a one-on-one thing. And I think if you change one life, you can change the course of the world.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I think like it's very much so like the butterfly effect when it comes to people. And one by one, I think if I can make a big enough impact where somebody reads something that I have, or they read something that you have, or they see a video and it inspires them to go out and take action, I think that that's some of the most positive work that we could possibly do on the world.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm imagining the listener now is like, okay, these guys are talking about purpose. They're talking about, you know, what we should be doing with our lives, throwing shit at the wall. They're probably wondering, what do I do? Or like, how do I find my purpose? And I think what you said is great, but I would add on to it. Follow what it, like, it's the old Tim Ferriss laws, like follow what excites you. Like, if, if you're into, I mean, I do that to this day, bro. Like I'm very attuned to, I meditate every day. Like I'm very attuned to like, if something is exciting to me, then I should probably spend more time listening to that or looking at that. Like your soul doesn't lie to you, you know? And if you ignore it and you try to do shit you hate, like this is why I made a video the other day called Discipline is for Losers. And the concept was like, well, A, you know, you can use a tool like Maxi or any kind of mental reprogramming thing, auto-suggestion, Napoleon Hill, whatever, to train your brain to like shit you don't like doing, like working out. I used to hate working out. I decided to learn some stuff about neuroplasticity and how the brain works. And now working out is my favorite thing I do every single day because I train my brain to do that. But at the same time, there's things that you naturally love doing that, you know, are glaringly obvious that you should probably pursue those more. For me, when I was first starting, I was like, well, I really like making videos. I could do it all day long and forget to eat because I just want to stay at my laptop editing this video. So whoever's listening to this, like, if you don't know what your purpose is, just follow whatever it is that you love doing. Who knows? Maybe it's playing video games. It could be, you know, but if that excites you for now, and that's your level of consciousness you're at now, that could lead to meeting people in some Discord. And then you're investing in the next OpenSea competitor and you put $300 into Magic Token and next year it's 100X. Like you never, like following what excites you, I really don't think you can fail.
I love that. For me, so I was always very, and I think you're onto something here because when you do when you do the things that excite you, like you can always, especially like a lot of people will play video games, but you can get the same enjoyment. And sometimes you have to kind of train your mind out of it, but you can get the same enjoyment from something like a video game if you literally do something like playing sports or business, very, very, very equivalent to playing video games. And if you reframe and reprogram your mentality to look at something, and this is how I've always thought, like life is literally like a video game. Like we get to build and mold our own character. And when we can look at ourselves from an objective lens, right? From a third party kind of top-down aerial view perspective, be like, look, okay, well, what are my strengths? What's my skill tree? What are my weaknesses? What do I need to work on? Do I focus on like, and in video games, like you min-max, right? Like you want to be the best in certain areas and then you don't really care about the other ones. Like I'm never going to be on the moon, right? Like I'm never going to be a math genius, right? I was never really good at math, but I was always good at speaking. I was a good actor. I was always playing music. I was very good with words and being able to speak and art, right? So I knew that my strengths lie in the creative field. So if I can apply that creative process to literally everything I do, then I get the same enjoyment in business and creating systems and doing all these things and being creative when I sell and doing all the things that I do now, as opposed to when I would pick up the guitar and write a song or dick around and like do something like design wise and like all these other things that I did. So I think like for people listening and for the listeners, if you're doing something that you really love, figure out what is the reverse engineer it and figure out what are the underlying principles that you really enjoy about it, right? In video games, is it the dopamine addiction? Is it the goal setting? Is it like, what part of these things do you really enjoy? And then apply those same principles that you love about the things you love and try to do it and replicate it someplace else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. I mean, life is a video game for sure.
So with where you're at, I know you're very well read. What do you, I wanted to ask you, because you're reading some interesting stuff. I heard you mention Bronze Age mindset on the other podcast. You know, what are you reading now and what kind of stuff are you interested in now? Because like I said, you're doing a bunch of different things. Are you still reading, you know, books and trying to become very world-class and like even better in terms of like, you know, social skills, connecting with people, being charismatic, or are you like more focused on like other things to try to level up those other areas of your life?
Yeah. So I think one thing I did mention is at a certain point you read all the books you can on the bestsellers list on the personal development section of the bookstore. And you just get bored of the old whitewash, like, you know, advice, and it's very repetitive. And then every new book comes out and it's the same idea. And you feel like you've read everything in like that self-help space. And it can be self-help business. It could be self-help communication. And so you learn all of that stuff. So you look for more, I mean, I've looked for more, there's really two different ways. Alternative philosophies, just like exciting, new, not necessarily new, but nuanced in the sense of like, it's not like potentially not socially accepted. That's where like the harassment architecture, Bronze Age mindset, Atlas Shrugged kind of thing comes in. Stuff that, you know, the West doesn't like. Stuff that, you know, is a bit more controversial. You know, starting to investigate and challenge all of my opinions. Like, you know, we grow up and we think, oh, you should go to college and get married. Well, now, like, one thing I'm interested in is, like, why should you get married? Like, and I'm just investigating that belief. Like, why is that a good idea? And just really thinking about all these things that I've been raised to think are a good idea, and thinking through them independently and analyzing where they came from and where the incentives on each side. So, you know, that whole like red pill space is very interesting to me at the moment. Rich Cooper has a book called The Unplugged Alpha, which is great. You know, obviously Rollo Tomasi's books are interesting, but on the other hand, I'm trying to get a lot more into the Ray Dalio type stuff. Just learning about world history so that you can predict more and actually learn more. Like, for example, fuck is happening in Ukraine right now. I know a little bit, but if I understood history, I'd probably know a lot more, and I would know how to move my money around, and I would know how to do a lot more than the average person and see the writing on the wall. Yeah. So I think, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And studying history is something I hated growing up. I question if that was the school's systems or whoever controlled the school system's curriculum is doing to make history sound incredibly boring, because I'm finding now it's actually pretty useful. Absolutely. So it's really history and then other alternative philosophies that I'm interested in right now.
Okay. So, and I want to ask you, have you read any, I'm very big on philosophy. So have you ever gotten into like the Nietzsche stuff, like the Goethe stuff, like any of the, what is it? It's existentialism philosophy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I definitely want to brush up on it, but I did actually, as much as I kind of bash on college, I was a philosophy minor or philosophy concentration. So I took a ton of philosophy courses, and they're actually really good. Philosophy, religion, and all, you know, historical, that, you know, kind of stuff was great.
I always said, when if I go back to college and I already knew what I was gonna do, right? I have a finance degree, right? But if I knew what I was gonna do, in hindsight, I would have sat there and I would have read philosophy books all day and just done a complete philosophy major, right? It would not have changed the outcome whatsoever. If you have the time, I'll send you over some books. There's an anthology of existential philosophy, and it's got Albert Camus, it's got Soren Kierkegaard, it's got Dostoevsky, and it's got all these little stories. And then with the stories, there's an analysis, right? And it talks about, Kierkegaard has this one, it's called The Sickness Unto Death. And when you read it, it's very Immanuel Kant-like. And what it is, it's a very Buddhist mentality of that we're always in suffering, right? We are always, humans naturally are always in a state of despair. And the entire journey of life is to fight and get out of that despair. And I always thought about that because, and this is something that I've always really focused on, is how addicted people are to negativity and negative emotions, right? And I think a lot more people, and I want to get your thoughts on this, I think a lot more people need to get out of this mentality, this victimized mentality of thinking the world is against them, right? When once you find the right community and you find a supportive community that creates these positive feedback loops in your life and makes you a better person, I think that you start to get out of that despair and you start to get out of that struggle. And when we can reframe our perspective, and we can look at things from a bird's eye view, like I said, and really take an audit and become really self-aware of where we're at, people will start to realize that they're absolutely addicted to the victim mentality because that's all they know. And because that's all they know, when something new comes along, it feels weird and they won't embrace it. So I want to know your kind of thoughts on that, especially with what you teach and what you're, you know, how often do you see that, and what are some steps that you can give people to start to think positively and get out of that mentality?
What mentality specifically? Just like old ways of thinking?
Yeah, old ways of thinking, like the addiction to like the negativity, the negative mindset.
Got it. So it depends the depth of the negative mindset, because there's different forms of depression, mental problems in general, and different people need to hear different things. That's why I love doing the live calls and live coaching, because I can look people like directly in the camera lens and I can see, you know, where their level of consciousness is at and what they need to hear. There's a fantastic book called Levels of Energy by Frederick Dodson. This one is definitely, I first read it about 4 years ago, but I think about it all the time because it's actually directed a lot of how I build my programs and how I communicate with people. Basically what it shows you is a scale of, I mean, you've seen Dr. Hawkins, David Hawkins, Dr. Hawkins, Richard, no. It's a scale of consciousness.
Okay.
Doctor, is it Hawkins? Man, you know what I'm talking about though. It's like a rainbow colored, like if you just Google scale of consciousness.
Oh yeah. I've seen this.
David Hawkins. Yeah, I was right. So it's a book called Levels of Energy by Frederick Dodson. And the book basically describes these different levels of energy. So for the listener who's maybe not, I mean, they could Google it while they're listening so they can see it, but the scale describes consciousness starting from the lowest point, which is basically shame, guilt, apathy, all the way up to between 0 and 200 is considered low vibration energy. And that is what we're talking about, like the negative mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So apathy is a slightly lower energy than depression. Depression is a slightly lower energy than anger. Anger is a slightly lower energy than pride, but they're all negative. However, to get someone out of apathy, what I would say to them is actually different than what I would say to someone who's in a depressed mind state. Someone who's angry, who's really pissed off, I wouldn't treat them the same to motivate them to a higher level as I would someone who was in depression. So it's an understanding of actually how to communicate people on whatever level of energy they're in and how to get them out of that. I mean, as a concrete example, right? I know that, and I mean, I actually have like some pretty awesome diagrams that show this. I don't know. Can I screen share?
Yeah, but it's going to be audio only.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Well, maybe we can... It'd be cool if I could like send you a screenshot of this.
Yeah, you can,
and you can put it in the show notes, maybe.
Yeah, I can link them in the show notes.
Okay, I'll definitely do that because I think it's really worth seeing. But basically, someone who's really depressed, right? Giving them a gratitude journal probably won't actually connect with them. Someone who's procrastinating and lazy and ungrateful, that's higher than depression, they would likely resonate with a gratitude journal because they can see that, right? If someone's depressed, one of the first things I would do to them is try to get them pissed off.
Yep.
Because then they feel anger. Then once they're angry, another thing you can do is activate their pride. So, Like if someone's pissed off, I'd be like, hey, dude, like, I know you're mad about this right now, but bro, you're a fucking beast. Like, do you know how much of a beast you are? Like if you were mad at me right now, I'd be like, dude, you know how much you've done in sales? Like, you're an absolute savage. And I would inflate your ego. And yep. Now you're like, you know what? I am a beast, right? But now you have pride and you're in this level of pride. So what do I do to get you out of the pride? Well, then there's another energy level. So like, there's different steps along the way to connect with people wherever they're at. And so that's why when you ask me, how do you get someone out of a negative mindset? It's hard to give the exact answer because I have to connect with them and look at them and be able to gauge exactly where they're at. Does that make sense?
Dude, absolutely. I love that. Like, so what you're saying is in order to whatever level they're at, right, you have to activate
calibrate,
and then activate the next level. Right. And then slowly, systematically bring them up through those levels until they get up into the what would be like an average range, like into a state of love and into a state of willingness and acceptance. I'm looking at it right now, you know, because it makes so much sense. And actually, like, when I think about that, I'm like, that was like that's the evolution that I unknowingly have been using in order to bring people up, like with the guys that we coach inside Cashflow Syndicate, like those types of like that literal system is something I've always done unknowingly, but to put a name to it is absolutely phenomenal. That's awesome. I need to read this book.
It's fantastic, dude. It's definitely life-changing.
That's incredible. So what state would you say that you're in right now?
It's actually really funny. People talk about enlightenment and like they think it's this wild thing. All I know enlightenment to be is an awareness. So like right now, as I'm talking to you, like I'm aware of my body. Yep. I'm aware of this camera. There's someone listening to this in some other, you know, time dimension right now. Right. And so I don't want to say I'm enlightened, but like, I think anyone can really be enlightened if they just practice that. And I've like programmed myself to be consistently aware a lot of the time. So I think that's what enlightenment is. I mean, of course but the thing is it sounds so fucking pretentious. And again, I don't even know if I'm actually enlightened, but from everything I've read and I've studied like every religion and almost every philosophy you can, like they all say the same thing about enlightenment. It's just like a heightened state of awareness of now. It's present moment. It's now. And when you are at that state often, you can actually like dip down into different levels at will. So like, for example, I like getting angry sometimes. I don't want to stay angry and not have unconscious control of it. But like when I'm in the gym, sometimes I'll just be like, you know what? Fuck everybody. Like I'm going to lift this weight. Like, fuck it. You know? Yeah. So you can like intentionally go into different energy levels depending on where you're at. I also think to a certain extent that just the flow of time and reality will bring you without your even conscious control into those different states. So, you know, something catastrophic could happen for people right now in Ukraine. You know, they can remain in this like enlightened mind state, but it, you know, if they have family that are dying, they're going to be in a state of grief and you can't control that. You know, that's a flow of the universe that's happening right now. Right now, I would say I've like activated because I'm in, you know, I would intentionally say I'm trying to be in like a love filled position, you know? So it's somewhere, I would hope somewhere like higher up on the scale because that's, you know, I feel good. I feel good. And I feel aware.
Yeah, man, you're riding around in supercars, flying around the world, going to different countries. You know, you're doing very well in business, it seems, and you know, you're doing your thing. So I mean, you know, levitating around, driving Corvettes, riding up the PTH, mansion here, villa in Italy. So you know, I've always thought you know, wherever we're at in life, right? Like, you know, wherever you go, there you are. But I think when you change your environment and you change your circumstances, like, you know, for me, man, I don't know how much you know about me, but when I was especially doing sales, like I was doing pretty well for being 22, 23. And like, that was like, you know, straight up corporate structure. But what happened was, is like, I saw a number going up in my bank account and I was still like in the same place, right? Like I had moved back to Philly for like 2 months and I was like, I was living in LA in like February and March for like 2 months. And then I came back to Philly. And then I was like, you know, like I'm definitely not happy. And like every day, like if we think of happiness as on a scale of like 1 to 10, right? Instead of like the energetic levels, I was like, I'm waking up every day. I'm at like a 2 or 3, even though I'm in phenomenal shape. Like I'm eating well, I'm training, I'm making, you know, money hand over fist. And I'm like, fuck, like, okay, well, what am I going to do? And I ended up leaving because I knew that in order to change the level of happiness, you need to change your circumstance fundamentally, right? You know, I could, there was no, absolute for me personally, there was absolutely no way I could sit in the same environment and feel like a different person. So I dramatically changed everything about my life in the span of like a month and a half, 2 months. Like I went on a crazy two and a half month trip, spent a shit ton of money over in Europe, like stayed in 5-star hotels, chartering boats, best clubs in Mykonos, like lived as if like I had already made it, like super made it, like was already there, like unlimited funds, doing the most ridiculous stuff. And when I came back and I had that experience, I knew where life was going to take me. Right. And I remember, you know, not only just like on like an energetic level, but on like a very like materialistic, like financial level. We were at, I don't know if you went to Mykonos or been to Greece. Yeah, I know you were in Italy, but there's a club in Mykonos called Scorpios, and it's 25 grand for a table, euros. It's expensive. It's big money. But we didn't get into this club. And I remember it's up on this hill, and we walked down, and the sun was setting over the, like in the harbor. And we walked down, I'm dressed well. And I looked, and there's like this James Bond super yacht, like all black, jet black, looked like straight out of the movie. And I look and I was like, so that's the next level. And when I got this other reference experience, and when I started to live this other type of lifestyle, I knew that like I had to do something so dramatically different than where I was going. Like you can make 150 grand a year and like live in like a city like Philly and be like, you know, happy. But I knew that like the level that like I personally wanted to play at, like I'm also of the same school of thought. I want to maximize the shit out of my potential. Like, where can I go from here? And I remember that was like a changing moment. And that was like the first week of my trip. And so ever since then, I've been on this path of like, now, like I wake up, I have complete freedom. I run my businesses. I do what I want. I can go anywhere in the world. And I'm like, okay, cool. So now I wake up, I'm at like a 7 every day. If traveling the world and like doing degenerate stuff with my friends and like, you know, like having the best possible time ever is like a 10, like, and then I'm alone and I can be at a 7. Well, I'm like, okay, like that's awesome. But as Dan Bilzerian says, and I've heard him say in some of his podcasts, is like that 10 gets harder to hit every time. So I think there's a level of comfortability, and let me know your thoughts on this. I think there's a level of comfortability that comes with like waking up every day with like no financial stress. You know, I have amazing relationships with my friends and family, and I have all this freedom. And it's just like, there's a couple things that would make life, you know, a little bit better. But I think, you know, waking up and being like a 7 or 8 every day is like what a lot of people should strive to kind of achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think 7, 8 is good because, if you wake up at a 10, well, it's arguable because maybe a 10, because I mean, I've definitely heard people, you know, say, oh, you shouldn't wake up happy every day because then you don't push for more. Well, what if like a 10 out of 10 is waking up feeling motivated despite having everything in order, you know?
I like that.
So I actually break down the three states of really like high vibration happiness as acceptance, enjoyment, and enthusiasm. So no matter where you're at in your life, whether your life fucking sucks, whether you just had something horrible happen to you, whether you know you're broke and you hate life, you can be at least in a state of acceptance. You can say, ah, I accept this circumstance. It sucks. It's not what I want, but I accept it. That's like the base level of a higher vibration energy. And that's, you know, presence and acceptance of the present moment. The next step is enjoyment. So, you know, if you can get to enjoyment, which is like, I like what's happening right now. This feels good. Yep. This is good. Then that's good. That's enjoyment. But the highest state, and this is what I strive for every day, which is actually why, you know, as we're doing this podcast, I'm really happy. The highest state is enthusiasm. And that's when you're creating anything for the betterment of humanity. So, you know, we're doing this podcast, we're creating this. Mm-hmm. We know people are going to be listening to this, feeling inspired, this is why this is so fun, because we're creating something. And, and so I think, it is, you know, I know Dan lives a very, enjoyment filled life, but I'd almost guarantee you, like, if you ever interviewed him, probably the times he's happiest are the times when he's not necessarily, you know, doing what he does with his girls and in wherever he is on his yacht or whatever, but when he's actually building something or creating something, you know, I would imagine that like releasing and writing his book was probably one of the most fulfilling things he's ever done. So I think on that scale, like that you mentioned, about waking up feeling a seven, like, it is, as long as you have something that you can go and work at every day, then you'll feel really good.
I completely agree, you know, and I think that's part of the masculine imperative, right? Like, as a man, like, you are meant intrinsically and internally off instinct to wake up and want to conquer, right? And some people just got it in them, and you know, some people don't, or some people have been, you know, demoralized by society. But
yeah, that's probably
I'm just saying, like, you know, some people are built to conquer the world and some are meant to make coffees at Starbucks. You know, both have a place, right? And people can be completely happy doing either one or the other. You know, I just don't think, you know, you and I are guys that are of the latter school of thought, right? Because we're constantly creating, we're constantly going out there. We gotta go to Miami. We gotta go on the super yacht. We gotta travel here. Gotta go in LA. Gotta go nice dinners. Gotta do all these things. Meet these people. Build, create. And it's this constant state of like, just challenge, right? You know, and I was saying on, I don't know if you know Daniel, if you know Cold Email Wizard, but I was staying on the other podcast, and like, I had an incredible, like, this was my February, like, as a month was my best month I've ever had in business since I went into business for myself. But what it does is it sets a new high, right? It's like, okay, well, I made this much money, but that means I can make more. And there's a very, very interesting balance between my happiness level and my curiosity, right? Because then it's like, okay, how do I push for more? Can I do more? And then I'm absolutely furious. It's like, when you move with that level of curiosity and intensity and relentlessness, you not only achieve more, but you can continue to set new barriers to crush, right? And what that kind of mentality for me is like, I know that there's a version of myself that is doing a lot better in a lot quicker of a time, right? And my entire battle, my entire struggle is beating that guy, right? And I use that to motivate myself day in and day out. Like, there's a version of me that's training harder. He's better with his nutrition. He's making more money in business. He's better doing X, Y, and Z. And every single day I try to push and I try to beat that guy and I try to outwork that guy. And that's what motivates me. And it also allows me to have that happiness with where I'm at, because I'm very, very happy, but also that level of curiosity and allows me to move with that intensity in the things that I do, right? Like, this podcast was an idea that I had, like, smoking a cigarette outside. I was like, I should start a podcast on Saturday night. And now we're here. It's Thursday. And we're on the third episode, you know? So
success loves speed, bro. I tell my team this all the time. Money loves speed.
Money
move
loves
now.
Speed,
move though. Fast. Don't fucking think about it. I love it. Yeah.
It's speed, man. It's like, now when I execute with ideas, it's like, all right, we're doing it now. Right. How quick can I do it? And can I do it with no money? Right. So,
yep.
I want to hear. So what are you doing in business right now? If you don't mind sharing, are you doing? So you have two main companies, right? You have Maxi and then you have Tribe Accelerator. What else are you doing? What are you doing as like a, I know you're doing some VC stuff with Hubi. I know you're investing in crypto. Like, what are you doing specifically with that? I want to hear more if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah. So Hubi, I'm an advisor to Hubi. And I mean, I've known the guys who started it for 2.5 years or so, and they're incredible. They're just savages in what they do. I'm roommates with the co-founder, Kasson. And so, you know, I advise essentially on design and overall, like, one thing I'm actually helping Hubi do right now is just pretty insider info, is like launching a community. I'm decent at community building. It's like all I've done the last several years, and like building a cult-like following around a brand. So that's what I'm helping Hubie do for their users. So I'm involved with Hubie on that level. What I'm most excited about right now is the last 2 years have been focused on Maxi. So for just for the listener, a little background on Maxi. Maxi is it's a mental reprogramming tool that helps you train and rewire your brain to become the most, I mean, like similar to how you were just describing, David, I like how you said, like, there's this version of yourself that's crushing it and you want to compete with it every day. Maxi is the tool that turns you into that person. Do you know Roman Cresto? Started Empire E-commerce.
I believe I've heard the name, but I don't know.
So anyway, he sent me a clip from the movie WALL-E. Have mm-hmm. you seen that movie?
I have.
So I actually never saw it, but he sent me this clip. And it's basically like, I realized the plot of WALL-E, right, is it's a little robot that's saving the world.
Yep.
Is he's basically waking people up out of their unconscious state and teaching them how to basically become masters of their reality. That's what Maxi does. Maxi wakes people up and shows them how to control themselves, stop being programmed by the stupid femme-centric media, and become a person who dominates. That's what Maxi does. So that's what I've been focused on the last 2 years, perfecting the system behind it. And I've only been pushing it to my audience. I even told some of my influencer friends, like, hey, I'm like doing this small, you know, it's not necessarily about like making the most money possible right now, as it is having clients I can talk to and see where they're getting tripped up and make the product better and better. So I've recently teamed up with a guy who's extremely good at scaling low ticket, because Maxi's not super expensive, low ticket personal development products.
Okay.
And he's done like $75 million in revenue in the last several years with low ticket subscription products. And he's helping me reframe the whole marketing strategy around Maxi to just blow it the fuck up. So that's one of the things I'm most excited about right now. To give you a small sneak peek on that, one thing I'm doing is like a massive affiliate strategy.
Yep.
Where on my podcast, what I do is I would have someone like you on. I would ask you questions, not necessarily about your past, but more about your mental model and how you think. Mm-hmm. And I would basically map out how does David behave and how does his brain work. And then what I do is I abstract those thought patterns that are going through your brain, and I put them into Maxi so that people can go through David. And it would be like an affiliate commission. So you'll make, you know, 75% commission the first month, 25% commission every month after that. And so you're incentivized to drive traffic to the program while your followers can go on and basically be like, I want to think like David. So they get Maxi, they download David's mindset, and then they interact with the tool to rewire their brain to think like David, to be a beast like David. And I'm going to do that with hundreds of thousands of people.
This is an incredible model. That commission's high because it's recurring as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very interesting stuff. You know, I think it's a testament to, as well, you said earlier, you've had about 5,000 or more people come through Maxi. And it's like, you know, it's a testament to the level of the distribution channel that you've built, right? If we want to go straight business for a second, I think you've built, and what I've seen you do is be very, very good, like you said, with community building, right? Like Cashflow Syndicate, we have, it hovers right now around a little over 300 people. And we started that about 4 months ago. And the level of distribution channel you've built is absolutely incredible, right? And I think in terms of if you want to think about like a funnel, it's like, you know, you're on every single platform. I know you're on TikTok, you're on YouTube, you're on Twitter now, and you're on Instagram, of course, like you're doing all these things. And the more people you put your message out, right? The more eyes and more attention that you get, the more some people come through, they reprogram their mental model and then they pass it on to their friends. And I think in terms of like building, like what you've built an incredible ecosystem for change and for positive impact. So by building like, and you're, and it seems like, and what I've seen you do, you're a very product driven guy, because I'm the same way. It's all about the product, like with courses, with programs, with communities, you have to build an incredible fucking product, because if you build the product and your distribution channel's right and everything is correct in that aspect, and you, there's nothing wrong with driving traffic to it. Where I get hung up is the people who sell shit products and they try to grift everybody. Yeah. I think it's a testament to what you've built, and it's absolutely incredible, because by creating an incredible product and then creating that ecosystem, you are by proxy doing the thing that you want to do, which is deliver the most positive impact to the world. And you're using a strategy where it's like, you can create a YouTube video. Like I saw the, you and Justin were in the Corvettes speeding up the PCH like in Malibu. And like, I saw that video and I'm like, yo, that's a sick fucking ad. Right. And then you can break that down. Like I watched it, I'm like, yo, that was sick. And like, you can break that down to smaller versions of content. You can break that down and you can kind of use that Gary Vee strategy. But I think you've built an incredible distribution channel for exactly what you're doing. And like, this is to the listener, right? Like figure out, and you seem like a very reverse engineered guy. Figure out what you want to do. Right. Regardless of what, if you're passionate about making money, you know, you can go sell dirt, you can go sell whatever the hell you want to sell. But if you're passionate about something, reverse engineer the things that are going, the systems that are going to help you achieve your goal, and then build the systems around them. Right. Arlen is a perfect example. Like for you business guys, like if you look at his sales process and his funnel, like it's phenomenal. Right. And there's so much to learn from that. And you know, I think you did it obviously intentionally. You're obviously a very smart guy. You know, do you want to talk about that, about like system building for, you know, a minute or two?
Yeah, dude, I love system building and I never get to talk about it. This is like where I was kind of hoping a podcast would go. Actually, this is just before I even go into this, one of the best, you asked me, the first question you asked me was like, what is the best communication technique that you can offer people? If you want to get people to love you, get them to talk about the thing that they are most excited about that they never get an opportunity to talk about, or that they're least known for. So if it's a celebrity, if it's an influencer, if it's a, you know, someone who has a personal brand with a lot of followers, typically they're known for one thing or for two or three things that everybody knows about, right? So people know me, or let's use you. People know you because you're really good with sales, right? I mean, I read some of your copy, you know, you're really good with sales and you're on Twitter, right? So when the average person meets you, they'd probably talk to you about business, sales, and Twitter, right? But do they know that you're interested in philosophy? Maybe they don't, but you love talking about philosophy, I could tell. So if I were trying to influence you, I would talk to you about philosophy. Me, I'm known for my YouTube channel. I'm known for Maxi. I'm known for Tribe Accelerator, communication, social skills. But what I love that I never get to talk about is fucking Zapier and computer programs and building systems. I love systems and I never get to talk about it. So let's talk about it. So I basically, and this aligns with a lot of what we've been talking about so far in this podcast, which is like realizing what your strengths are. Okay, so I know that I love making content. I love communicating. I love being the face of my brand. And I love being creative. I come from artist parents. My mom's a painter. My dad's a photographer. So the numbers and business side for me and, you know, running a large team, not something I gravitate toward. So I had this idea for this program, Maxi. I reached out to some developer friends. I said, hey, I have this idea for this product, but I don't know how to program. What the fuck do I do? And they're like, hey, there's this thing called Zapier. And Zapier basically takes pre-existing tech like Legos and puts them together on top of each other. And you can build whatever the fuck you want. And you don't need to write a single line of code. And so I basically had a little bit of guidance on Zapier, but I realized the Zapier is something you can just teach yourself and you can automate everything in your life. So as someone who doesn't like to do things repetitively, as someone who doesn't like to manage and build like a massive team, One reason I loved Tim Ferriss, reading 4-Hour Work Week, reading all the books he suggested about like $1 million one person business, you know, automate your life, systemate your life, those methodologies, those mindsets. I loved that so much. And Zapier makes that possible. Like everything in my business that is a system, I can just easily figure out how to make a Zap for. And just for the listener, a Zap is just a process, an automated process that like you can just create for your business. So let's say every time someone pays for your product, you want them to get an email as soon as they get it. You want them to get an email in a week. You want them to get an email in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, just like following up with them. And it can be like a sales process. And then you also want them as soon as they buy to get added to your Discord. And you want them to then get an automated message from Discord. And you also want them to get put into your email system. And then they're like, they have a tag on their email that shows that they bought the program. You can do all of that in Zapier, and it's so easy. It's not, I mean, it's easy once you teach yourself, basically. And you can teach yourself with YouTube. So I just kind of like blurted out a lot about systems, but was anything I said there, did you want to go more into?
Yeah.
Because I could talk about this. I love systems.
Absolutely, dude. And so I run an email marketing company, right? So my main company is email, and we do email marketing for 7-figure brands. And we for high ticket e-commerce, right? So anything over $1,000 average order value.
Okay.
And it's a very interesting niche that I found myself in. But I like that niche. And you would be surprised. And the thing is like my entire pitch is like there are companies that are collecting emails. Like, and the thing is, like everyone thinks like, oh, like email is kind of dead. There are companies that are collecting emails. They have lists of 30K that they don't even have like a welcome email for. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're like losing margin in different areas of their business. And then like, they're just leaving so much money on the table. So our entire pitch is like, hey, like, dude, we'll come in, we'll set up an entire automation funnel for you. Like everything's going to be automated. You're not going to have to do a single thing. And it's just going to magically print money. And if you have the list, we can turn around in like 7 days for you and like start making money as fast as possible. And it's like this fucking no brainer pitch. But the thing is like fees, regardless of how big you are, right? Like I was the Stephen Covey thing, begin with the end in mind, right? Like you have to build, like you go to battle, you need a plan. And when you're able to build things and systemize your process, right? Like my system is, so my main company, right? I have that. So the better I do in this, and I explained this before, the better I do in my main company, the more I can talk about it on Twitter. The more I talk about it on Twitter, the more people want to go and join the community where I teach people how to do that. The more people join my community, the more success they have, right? Which funnels back into social proof for Twitter, which funnels back into the other things. So as long, and my entire day, my entire job now is really just becoming an architect of reverse engineering these systems and how do I make these systems better, right? Like people don't understand like the amount that you can do with not only Zapier, but like system, being able to figure out like SOPs and systems and replicating yourself so that when you grow your team, you're able to literally give them like a PDF or show them a couple Loom videos and be like, okay, here's how everything's done. Here's exactly what you need to do. And so my entire job now is just architecting this entire ecosystem of, okay, so if I do one thing here, it goes into here and it breaks down. It's a very kind of Gary V style thing, how he mixes up his content and breaks up his content into smaller form content. But I reverse engineered that system, right? Like my sales team, my entire sales process for my company and my economic structure is based on the old economic structure of the company that I did sales for, right? Fill up as much top of funnel business as possible, tap them all for retainer down the line, and then build the retainer, the monthly recurring revenue and the retainers, and then continue to bring new business in top of funnel. So it literally, the more you do one thing, the better the other things go. And if you can literally systemize your life, not only your businesses, but your life, the way you interact with people, your network, and all these things that you do, like even the podcast now, it's like the podcast, cool. I love interviewing people. I love talking to people, but also not only does it allow me to be a better listener, but it also allows us to put out content that increases our social proof and credibility, right? I'm sure there's going to be people that listen to this podcast. They're going to join your stuff, right? What it does, it allows us to create social proof, credibility. And now we have an added thing that we can go, and what it does, okay, more Twitter followers. The more Twitter followers, they might become customers. They might resonate with my stuff. If they see it enough, exposure effect. And so when I talk about systems, there's the reverse engineer systems of like the models. And I think all that you need to do to be successful in business and in life and these things is you have to be able to understand models that work, right? Like the energetic spectrum is a model. That model works. You reverse engineered that model into being able to talk to a certain type of person at an energetic level, bring them up. That's a model. So you spin the angle and then you apply pressure to a marketplace that has never had it before or that hasn't seen it yet, which is exactly what you're doing. And you've systemized that process, right? Now, if you hire a coach, right, you can bring a coach on. I don't know if you have coaches, but you can bring a coach on and then teach them the exact same thing. And now it's systemized. Now it's automated. I love it. And I think, you know, and I learned that from a couple mentors of mine back in the day, but it's just like the more you systemize things and break it down into singular steps and build an ecosystem, one hand feeds the other, one hand washes the other. And it's this perpetual motion machine that you create that literally automates the entirety of not only your businesses, but continues to perpetuate your own success.
Word. Yeah. Yes, agree.
Arlen, I think we're coming up on the hour. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
I mean, honestly, I think that there is an urgency that I'm not sure we've expressed enough. Like we've talked about, you know, we've talked about maximizing your potential and achieving, you know, and leaving a significant impact and a legacy and all this. But like, I think that, I mean, I would imagine the target audience for this, like kind of feels like they need a little kick in the butt or something like that to like get moving. It's like, I really think that we're headed, just looking at the world and where it's going, like we are headed for some potentially pretty dark times, you know, like it's going to be like long, you know, next 10, I would say like 10, 15 years from now, I think we'll be in an amazing place. But I really think that the world is like a caterpillar about to go into like its shedding phase cocoon and turn into a butterfly. And that phase is ugly. And that's why we're seeing so much bullshit happening in the world, this pandemic, this, and I said that in quotes for people, you know, like there's agendas that are happening. There's restrictions, there's control, there's monetary systems that are falling apart, and it's all unraveling. And I really think that, and I just feel it, because again, I bring it back to meditation, but like I just know that shit's about to hit the fan.
Yep.
And if you're not making money, if you're not joining communities like yours or mine or really anyone's, if you're not buying courses and improving yourself and learning how to acquire resources and learning how to be smart, like you could be fucked. And so I think there is a very real urgency that a lot of people are just ignoring or thinking won't affect them. And so that's what I would leave people with, is just like, take your thumb out of your ass and stop sitting and spinning and like put your hands on the keyboard and figure some shit out. Join a course, join a community, do something, and start putting out content, start creating. Like now is the time. You're literally almost too late is what I would say.
You need to move with a sense of urgency. I'm just going to add to this, right? Like something that you just said, like if you are not making more money, right? And the thing is, the world is a very financial place, right? If you do any type of research, and I heard you talk about this, and this was something I wanted to get into. I'm not sure if we have enough time for it, but the Federal Reserve is not the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is a private bank that prints the American money supply. Inflation is at like 20-25%. The housing market is up 25-30%. The wage is staying the same. Your money, like gas in LA right now is like $5.20 a gallon for like...
It's like $8 some places.
It's $8 some places. In New Zealand, it's like $10 a gallon. Like it's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie In Time with Justin Timberlake.
But I haven't.
It's on Amazon Prime. If you get the chance, if you're flying somewhere, watch it. It's incredible. What the whole concept is they're paying with time, right? And when their time
I have seen the previews for that. Yeah.
And the buying power is slowly inflated and people are in this perpetual state of poverty where they are working to live, right? They're working to get more time. The bus fare goes up, the gas goes up, everything goes up. That is literally happening in real time, right? Last year, 2 years ago, gas was $2 a gallon. Now it's $5, right? People are still in their same jobs, making 30, 40, 50 K a year. It's not enough, right? You have to find ways to supplement your income. You have to start to purchase assets. You have to be in crypto. You have to be purchasing hard assets because like used car market, like, I don't know if you've seen the price of Lamborghinis recently, but last year and a half ago, 200, now they're $3. Everything is increasing, inflation is going up, and your buying power of the dollar is getting less and less and less in real time. You need to be moving with urgency. You need to find communities of like-minded people. You need to be inside, and you need to start to work to prevent the lack of security that's coming. Right now, people better be moving fast, right? You have to figure it out now. Right now is the time. The world is like you just said, it's headed for a dark turn of events, and I'm not sure where it's going to go, but I'm trying to hedge.
I mean, dude, it's already dark too. Let's be clear about that. Yeah. Like our country is run by pedophiles and rapists. Like Jeffrey Epstein, like, you know, like it's already dark. Now it's just being shown in the surface. Like this is also the nature of energy, right? Like the darkest of energy is hidden. Now it's coming to the surface and people are seeing it and being like, oh, that's fucked up. Mm-hmm. We should not have that shit anymore. But that dark energy doesn't go out without a fight.
No.
So that's what's happening now.
And my question to everybody listening is, how much more do you need to see? Like, how much longer are you going to wait to get inside a community like Maxi, get inside a community like Tribe, get inside Cashflow Syndicate? Like, how much longer are you going to wait? You're going to literally wait until it's too late. Until everything is absolutely fucked. So like everyone listening, like we said earlier, money loves speed, and you have to figure out a way to make it and make things happen for yourself. Right. Like
one thing I want to talk. Dude, you mentioned like people are waiting, right? Like, what are you waiting for? I just want to make a point on that. Like people, they probably like, oh, but Cashflow Syndicate, like, how do I know this isn't a scam? You're already being scammed. David just explained the fucking fight. The Federal Reserve is not federal and it's not a reserve. Money isn't real. Like US dollars that you know of, but yeah, you're being scammed now. So what are you doing? Like, is Cashflow Syndicate a scam? No, it's not. But what you're in right now is a scam. Making 50K a year to sit in a cubicle, that's a fucking scam. Like, get out of it. Wake up.
You're paying 30% in taxes. You're already paying 15 grand in taxes. You got 35K left. And then the rent is going up by 10%, 20% every year. So now you're fucked. You got 5 grand a year. Like, bro, like, how do you even go to dinner? Like, you can't even go to dinner. Like, you can't even go on a date. Like, it's fucking insane, bro. Like, especially like in LA, like you've been to places like Catch, like you've been to Delilah, you've been to these places, like, bro, every dinner's a grand. Like, everything's it's $1,000, $2,000. You go to the club, you buy champagne, it's 5 grand. Like, you need to be able to combat this system. And I'm not saying like you have to live like how, you know, people like see, you know, maybe my life on Instagram or your lifestyle that you're living, but it's like you need to be doing something to get out, to escape, like to literally create exit velocity for yourself. Like when a rocket takes off, there's something called exit velocity. It needs to be going a certain speed to get out of orbit, right? To get into space, to get away from Earth, you need to be going at exit velocity. And it's like, how fast are you gonna go if you're staying in the same spot doing nothing? Mm-hmm. Doing absolutely nothing, right? So like literally, like if you're in that position right now, and I know there's a lot of guys here, like you need to be, there's three ways you can make money. You can sell your time, you can sell your production, or you can sell other people's time. A business is other people's time or other systems in place, or you're spending money for more money, right? Sales is production based. You're paid off of how much you sell, how much you produce, right? You know, Arlen, you and I, we have our own businesses. We are in commission sales. We don't get paid unless we produce. We have other people, you know, helping us out, doing work with us, working for us in these systems. But you can't be selling your time. Like, I think, dude, like the minimum wage at Chipotle right now is like $16.35 an hour. I know after tax, they're making $2,000 a month. in California, they're probably making $900 a paycheck. Where, what are you going to like, dude? I've actually driven by that old place that you used to live at, right? In the hills. Like, bro, like I know how much that place costs. Like you would need literally 10 of those people working in one of these jobs would not even be able to afford a month's rent in that place. So it's like, you have to start to push the levers and like, you have to really move the needle in your life and what you're doing. And I think like, that's just, it's what needs to be done. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're already on the right track in life. Take action, move with urgency, money loves speed. And I'll end it there. You have anything else?
Yeah. They need to stop being a dork. that's it. Just figure it out. That's it. But yeah, no, I would just say, you know, I'm a friendly person on social media. If anyone listening wants to reach out, direct message me, say, I heard you on David's podcast. It's just at Arlin, A-R-L-I-N. My YouTube, I mean, everything that I do is linked in the Instagram bio in at A-R-L-I-N. So it's a Hoobie link, actually. We talked about that. But that's it. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, David. I really appreciated it. I'm excited to see where you take this podcast. And I got to learn some stuff from you about Twitter because you're like the Twitter god. So I gotta pay attention.
I appreciate that, my friend. Arlin, I think it's been a pleasure having you on. I think it's been an incredible chat. I think the people listening are going to find a lot of value in it. And if you're back in LA, we'll get together for sure, man.
For sure. All right, David. Connect soon. Peace.
Yeah.